This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, July 10th on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together playing trivia tonight, and I'm ready for you. Are you ready for me? Well, we'll see. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. And if it's Friday night, please don't call. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. It's a replay. But if it's Monday night, the 10th of July, by all means, I want your participation. Now, we have a straggler from last week. You've had a week to think about it, so maybe you've forgotten the question. Today, they're nothing if not mass-produced, but the first time one was mass-produced at the rate of 30,000 a day was in the mid-1880s. I want to know what was mass-produced. You just have to give me the category. All right. I mean, specific category, obviously. But if you do, you're a winner. If you want your own category, well, you know the deal. You can have absolutely anything, and you know something about something. I know you do. We also have bumper stumpers going into or out of every commercial break, and all of them have a theme. So you win if you know the artist, and we've got some very familiar artists tonight. And you win if you can guess the theme. So, I realize on the first or second record, that might not be too apparent. But by the second hour of the show, oh, that should hang together well. So, 888-876-5593. Proving that if you want your own category, well, doesn't matter what it is. Barry wants to do charts. So, Barry in New Hampshire. Usually it's Beatles, but venturing out tonight. How's it going, Barry?
Hey, Raleigh. Doing good.
Excellent.
Last week you got me on the Beatles question, so I think I'll try something different.
Okay, very good. I usually don't get you on Beatles questions, that's for sure. But you want November of 1970. So where were you in November of 1970?
I was probably in eighth grade.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a captive audience. See, you were home from school every night, probably listening to the radio. You should know these. Okay. So you ready? The number one song, November 1970, I'll Be There.
Jackson 5.
Yep. Number two, We've Only Just Begun.
The Carpenters.
Yeah. Number three, Fire and Rain.
James Taylor.
Number four, I Think I Love You.
Partridge Family.
Number five, Indiana Wants Me.
Bobby Greaves.
No, it is an R. It is an R. You can do this.
Oh.
You're right.
It's not R.B.
No. R, and then he's got two names.
Oh, R.B. Taylor. R.B. Taylor.
Well, R. Dean Taylor, but I'll give it to you. All right. R. Dean Taylor. Good enough. Number six, Green-Eyed Lady.
Sugarloaf.
Yes. Number seven, Tears of a Clown.
Go
for it.
America, Smokey and the Miracles.
Good enough. Yeah, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, indeed it is. Number eight. Ooh, this may be a little hard, I don't know. Somebody's Been Sleeping. Was on Hot Wax.
Nope, I don't know.
Yeah, it was 100 proof aged in Seoul. Number 9, Gypsy Woman, which is a remake of Curtis Mayfield, obviously.
That Sugarloaf?
No, Gypsy Woman was Brian Hyland.
That's all right.
You're still going to win numerically, because even if you goof on this last one, you'll still be a winner. But number 10, It Don't Matter to Me.
Bread.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you got 80%. That'd pass in anybody's book. Congratulations.
All right.
All right, hang on.
Can you play Ball of Confusion by the...
Yes, by the Tempting Temptations. Tomorrow night, maybe. Let me write it down for Barry, Ball of Confusion. Sure.
Thank you.
All right, hang on. Don't go away. We'll confirm that address. All right, so we put Barry on hold there. And we'll get to... Stacy's got a guess on a trivia question. So does Leah and Marcus Hook. And again, today they're nothing if not mass-produced. But the first time one was ever mass-produced at the rate of 30,000 a day was the mid-1880s. I just want a category. Stacy and Algonquin, what do you think?
Okay, third mass-produced. What about, like, newspapers?
Nope. What's next?
Mass-produced. Light bulbs?
Nope. What's next?
Yes. That's all I've got.
Ah, well, you'll think of something else and you'll call me back. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Can I have another question?
What category do you want?
Oh, gosh. Not anything hard. I'll try a Twilight Zone.
All right, well, hang on, and we'll get your Twilight Zone question. We'll get to Leah. We'll get to Lisa. We'll get to you two coming up Monday night trivia. If it's Friday night, enjoy the show. Don't call. If it's Monday night, well, today they're nothing if not mass-produced, but the first one was mass-produced at the rate of 30,000 a day in the mid-1880s. What was mass-produced? All right, so that's where we'll pick it up with your calls next on WGN Radio.
Lullaby, 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 lullaby.
WGN Radio. So there you go. Who is she? That's our first bumper stumper. That should be easy. Of course, you won't know what it has in common with all our other bumper stumpers, but that'll become clear, maybe, as time goes on. However, recognizing it right away, no surprise here, and we'll get back to Stacy and her her Twilight Zone commercial. But Stacy. Oh, I can't believe I did this. Stacy, you're going to have to call back. I've just accidentally hung up on you. Please call me back, Stacy. But meanwhile, Marianne in Chicago, you know who did it. So go for it.
Carol Blades.
Absolutely right. Carol Blades, you are a winner.
Woohoo.
All
I
right.
I have to try to get the first one of the night because sometimes I doze off.
Well, you did very well. And if you keep listening, you might recognize the theme. But
yeah,
hang on.
If I stay awake long enough.
Well, good luck on that. But after all, sleep is sacred. So if you do fall asleep, I'm with you all the way. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. At least don't fall asleep until we confirm your address. After that, well, everything's fine. All right. Now we get back to Stacy. I'm so sorry for hanging up on you, Stacy. All right.
That's okay.
So here we go. All right, as we talked earlier, Rod Serling wanted Richard Egan to do the opening narration because of his deep voice, and when he wouldn't do it, Rod Serling said, "Oh, I'll do it myself." And so, of course, he did. And in season one, as Rod Serling did the setup and introduced the show you were about to see, virtually all of the men in season one were described in one way of having this in common. They all were this. They all were what? So it's the kind of thing that would be a description of the men of sorts. But it's interesting that Rod Serling chose to make them all the same.
Oh, my gosh.
So what did they all have in common?
I'm trying to remember the beginning, how he started it.
Oh, the narration? Well, the first part was a standard thing, and that was so funny because, of course, when he first wrote it, he talked about the sixth dimension, and a guy at CBS said, "What's the fifth dimension?" He said, "There aren't five." And he changed it to the fifth dimension, but that was the deal. But I'm trying to think of that exact opening, because it was always the same, and then he'd go on and describe the subject of that episode.
Right, right. You know, I can't remember that.
Well, it's one of those weird things because, of course, if you either knew it or you didn't. It's one of those weird facts. And I think more people know it because they've seen it. But, you know, how he starts, they all start the same with, "You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone." And that's, you know, that's the way it would go. And then he'd go into describing what that episode was going to be about, like who the man was that was going to be in it.
Oh, right.
Right. So what I want to know, all those men, virtually all of them, there might have been an exception, but I don't know, in season one, shared this one thing in common. And so in all of the episodes, when he introed them, it was the same thing. What was it?
Let's see. I swear, I watched all of them, but you asked the questions.
Well, think about it. Now, what all would he be describing about all of the men? What one of the first things he'd say was about this, about the man? Okay, you ready to give up?
I swear to God,
Okay, all of them were 36 years old.
36 years old?
Yeah, when he was describing the men who were going to be in that episode, it was, you know, the man 36 years old. They all were 36.
Oh, my God, I don't remember that.
Well, of course not. You didn't remember the standard opening, so.
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't watch it, really. For quite some, I mean, I had the episodes, but once in a blue moon, you know. That's all right.
Well, you know, I just we've got all of the episodes on Laserdisc because we're crazy. And in any event, I just pulled them, and so when I get back to the valley, I will start watching them all. But yeah, in one of them, for instance, Gig Young. He was actually 46 years old when he played it, but he was playing a 36-year-old man.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, so remember that? And they introduced him as being 36.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And what's interesting is there were 36 episodes in the first season.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah. So when you know it all. Well, yeah, because I see it in front of me. You see, that's why I say I can be brilliant because I've got the answers. You see, so no,
yes,
no,
right,
no.
Raleigh.
You too. Talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. So, yeah, don't give me any credit because I seem brilliant only because the answers are right in front of me. All right. But that is interesting. And I did. I pulled every one of the Twilight Zone episodes because I'm going to go and watch that because that was one of the IMDb trivia things about Twilight Zone. And I thought, well, I know they had 36 episodes, but they were all 36. And of course, Gig Young played a 36-year-old, so maybe so. All right. But back to our question. Today, they're nothing if not mass-produced, but the first time one was mass-produced at the rate of 30,000 a day was in the mid-1880s. What was mass-produced? I just need a category. Leah, in Marcus Hook, what do you think?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
I can't complain. How you feeling?
Oh, I'm good. I can only think of four things. I couldn't think of six things. Well, actually, Albert helped me a little bit, but the first thing I'm thinking is a chess set.
You nope.
Because I know chess was really big back then.
Nice, but no.
Medical supplies?
Nope.
Clothing?
Nope.
Shoes?
Nope.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I would say, given all that you've given me, the chess set was the closest.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
But, you know, I hate to give those clues because invariably I waltz you down the wrong lane, and I never mean to do that. It just comes out that way. All right. So Frank in Chicago's got a guess. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
What do you think?
Well, my guess was, but I've maybe kind of changing it because you said it had nothing to do with clothes.
Yep.
But my guess was celluloid, that's plastic, celluloid shirt collars.
Oh, interesting.
Men used to wear.
Yes, that's not right. Do you have any other guesses?
Oh, yeah, some kind of ammunition for guns,
that's
ammunition
good.
Stuff, maybe.
That would be a category, you're right. It's not right, but that would absolutely be a category. If you said ammo and it was right, you'd be a winner, but that's not what it is.
Okay, how about Ouija boards?
No, absolutely not. Yes, Ouija boards, the William Fold Company of Baltimore, Maryland. No, it's not.
Okay, and I'm out of guesses, but let me make a little comment about the Twilight Zone thing.
Yes.
There is a famous, it's kind of famous, forbidden episode that they don't really show much.
Yes, because
you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, absolutely, because it was considered to be slandering a group of people. It was it did get shown, and now it's shown regularly. But we talked about that once on the air because to this day, I understand that people write things with the best intentions, but I do not understand how that got by Rod Serling. I just don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, the whole thing was just how did that happen?
Yeah, it's a downer show. It's a real downer.
Oh, no.
I'm
with you. And it was banned for decades. It was called The Encounter. And they didn't have it run for like 50 years. And it was a downer, of course, you know, the World War II guys and ultimately deaths. And, you know, it was almost like an Edward Albee play. Yeah. I can't imagine considering all of the horrors that the Japanese went through versus, you know, what we did in World War II, how within a decade of that, they could think, well, we'll write this script. You know? I don't know.
It is. It's kind of weird. And the star, the Japanese guy, was, I think, George
Well, one of them took yes, absolutely, went on Sulu and then was a politician in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Oh, and by the way, so long as I mention this, Hawaii 5-0 has a similar kind of forbidden episode that they don't want to show.
What is it?
Have you heard about
no,
that?
No, what
oh,
is
it's
it?
It involves, I can't give you the name, but it involves suicide, where a girl kind of like hangs herself.
Oh.
And it's just, it's a downer. It's
all
like
right.
The
I think I know the episode Kapu. And that was in the third season, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, great to have you listening. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Take it
talk
easy.
To you soon. Bye. Yes. And let's find out what's going on in the world at large, and then we'll get back to trivia right here on WGN Radio.
Song
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And who is that? That's a gift. That's so easy. The problem is getting through. All the lines are busy. But when somebody hangs up, that's your turn. Take your cue to call in. I'm going to disconnect somebody right now, and there's one line available, 888-876-5593. So who is that? And what do they have in common with the first thing we played? Now, we got our straggler. Today, they're nothing if not mass-produced, but the first time one was mass-produced at the rate of 30,000 a day was in the mid-1880s. What was mass-produced? I just need a category. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, if you've gotten an artist already, you're disqualified from getting another artist in the same night. However, you're not disqualified from the theme. So, I know that Marianne knows the artist, but she can't tell us because she's already won for an artist tonight. But, so you can't tell us who the act is, but you can tell us the theme.
You got me there.
All right, if you think of it, you call me back. But no, if we just went by the artist, you'd get too many of them. So you've already won.
I'm killing Scotty here.
Yeah, no. But keep listening because I think you might get the theme.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, so, yeah. Now, we'll say goodbye to Mary Ann, and then if you say, but I know who it is, too, well, then it's your time to get in. 888-876-5593. Steve, traversing I-80, I do believe, in a semi. How's it going tonight, Steve?
How are you?
All right, what's happening?
Well, I had a bunch of wrong answers, and I have new wrong answers because...
Very good.
Because Leah said shoes, mm-hmm. and I was going to say shoes or shoelaces,
okay.
among some other things.
Okay, keep going.
So since something, to like you said, games and chess is kind of close, how about dice?
Nope.
Dominoes?
Nope.
Jacks?
Nope. Oh, I think you're going to do it. Yes! Yes, yes, yes! Marbles! So I would have taken it, if somebody, all somebody had to do was say toys. I was willing to give it away for that. But in this case, marbles it was. And marbles were produced in 1884 by the S.C. Daikin Company factory in Akron, Ohio. 30,000 a day.
So, awesome.
Yeah, you are a winner. All right, Steve, well, hang on. Don't go away.
All right.
So... Yeah, appreciate it. All right, so we put Steve on hold. We try not to disconnect him. And Tom is a first-time caller in Milwaukee, but Tom, we just had a winner. It was marbles. Call me back for the next one, and I'm glad you called. All right, well, I don't know if Tom hung up dejectedly, but I'm always thrilled for first-time callers, so hopefully he will call us back with something else. And I guess it's my job to find another question. But I think that you might know who our bumper was because that's a well-known artist. All right, so what do we have? I'm looking for questions. All right, oh, I loved this one. Now, we previously established with another question that 1,440 Americans, on average, seek hospital treatment every year for ping pong injuries. By comparison, there are only 4 known injuries requiring hospital treatment for this physical pastime. 3 of them were for being hit in the head, and one of them was for having a splinter in his buttocks. What's the pastime? All right. So, yes, unlike ping pong, which sends throngs of people to the hospital, this one only sent 4, 3 for being hit in the head and 1 for a splinter in the buttocks. What's the pastime? 888-876-5593. I'm going to have to look up exactly how you engage in this pastime to try and understand the splinter clue, but that's the deal. Now, so you can have our bumpers numbers, and yeah, I am expecting a winner, or you can have our question, or you can have your own category, and we prove that all the time. So we've got to talk to Lisa from Dundee so I can find her a 1950s movie question. So hello, Lisa. How are you?
Good.
All right.
And you? Busy weekend?
Yeah, right. In Globe, yes. So different studio, and you know,
So did you find out what happened with your...
Yes.
Was it out of fuel?
No, it wasn't. Yes and no. All right. This is where, believe me, I tried to get Marianne on the phone. Here's the deal. There was plenty of fuel. All the fuel you could want. the fuel gauge was just turned off. Not the gauge, actually, but the entire fuel line. Somebody turned off the fuel line. Now, here's the problem with this episode. We have it padlocked.
Oh, interesting.
So now, and it's not like anything I can figure out that it would have some kind of fail-safe that would cause it to turn itself off. It's not of that variety. So, but that was it.
And you weren't in the area at all.
No.
You were somewhere else.
Yes, if I was in the area, we would have been on the air. No.
Yeah, right.
Not on the air, nowhere near, and neither was anybody else. So, but John did find something interesting just before the show, because for 2 days we've been walking around saying, how the hell? You know, that kind of thing. Because, by the way, when we turned the fuel line back on, we started up the generator immediately with no problem. So, you know, it was absolutely that the fuel line was turned off, but how? And so I've got a padlock at one end. Ah, but there's a cotter pin at the other end. And John figured somebody could have just pulled the cotter pin, lifted the lid, and turned it off as a prank or something. But this is not something that's out by the street. You'd have to be into the property, know where it was, know where that cotter pin was, and that's even more oogie than the thought that it's ghosts. So
Right.
Bottom line is we do not
know. That's not I don't know, yeah. You're right.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
I mean, as a prank, it's kind of...
Well... It's an interesting neighborhood. It's the highest crime neighborhood in the state. And, you know, it's, John laughs. Well, you can hear our street on the police blotter every night. Well, you can, almost. So, you know, and a variety of things from murder on down. So, I mean, I understand it's a dicey neighborhood, but because of that, I wouldn't think anybody cared about our cotter pin and generator, you know. Go for something big.
Yeah, right.
You know, it would be hard to get in here. It's pretty much a fortress. But even so, it doesn't add up to me.
It almost has to be somebody that knows what it is and all that.
Well, you know, it's a very big propane tank. There's no mistaking what it is. It's really large. And the generator's across the way. You know, the line is buried underneath going to the generator. But, I don't know. I absolutely don't. No.
So then, because you said that you went on the air again then after the fireworks.
Well, yes, because the power...
put the pin back in?
No, the power came back on.
Oh, the power back... Uh-oh.
Yeah, see, and that...
the power going off had nothing to do with that pin.
Well, nothing to do with the pin, but because the power went off, the generator didn't cycle on.
Got it.
Generator didn't cycle on because there was nothing going to it that would power it. But no, it also, you know, I hate this power company. They're just, I used to say that Florida Power and Light was the worst, but no. APS, Arizona Public Service, even beats Florida Power and Light, or like I used to say, Florida Flicker and Flash, for being the worst power company in America. It is APS. They need to get some type of an award. But anyhow, the power went off 2 minutes after the fireworks started. So we had, by the way, the opening parts of the national anthem. So 2 minutes after it started, and it came back 15 minutes after it stopped.
Hmm.
Okay. So.
There's just a lot going on in that one.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So I have in front of me here the top 15 movies of the 1950s. According to IMDb.
Okay.
And some of them are your favorites, like Rear Window. But but number one is from 1957. It's a Sidney Lumet feature. And
okay.
Henry Fonda's in it. What is it?
Sidney Lumet and Henry Fonda.
Yeah. Henry Fonda's really the star.
Yeah. Is it 12 Angry Men?
Absolutely right. Yeah, IMDb considers that the best movie of the 1950s.
Really?
Now, the number two movie, I wasn't going to go there because I can't even pronounce the guy who did Seven Samurai. But So Seven Samurai.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Exactly.
That's the original of the other one you gave me a question on once. Magnificent Seven.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So yes, and A Bug's Life. So yeah.
A Bug's Life.
Yes.
Is that from
yes. Same theme. Yes, the Pixar movie. It's all the same. But yes, Rear Window number three, which of course I liked because Ross Bagdasarian was in it. But Anyhow.
Now, who did he play?
Oh, he was the piano player. He was my favorite character. Yes. Oh. Alvin and the Chipmunks were in Rear Window. Yes, they were.
That is a great movie.
Yeah, I should have asked you that, because I figured, oh, you'd know that Ross Bagdasarian was the piano player.
No, but I would not have known that.
Wow.
I know Thelma Ritter's in it, though.
Yes.
She's one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yes.
And she's good in everything she's in.
But you're absolutely right about the number one movie, according to IMDb, of the entire decade, 12 Angry Men.
Wow.
All okay. Right.
Okay,
hang on.
Then.
Don't go away. All right,
thank
so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
You can't leave now. Again. Now we've been through this before. And I'm tired. I'm tired. Sick and tired of the same old thing. Over and over.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I think the best thing she ever did. I thought it was just a terrific guest. Yes. So tell me who it is, and of course, what she might have in common with the first two songs we played. All right. So it's a somewhat out there theme, but I think you'll pick it up. In the meantime, we'll talk to Tommy in Chicago because he knows. So Tommy, who was it?
Hello, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself, Tommy?
I'm feeling good again with your music.
No.
I heard Linda Clifford, Runaway Love.
Absolutely right, 1978 on Curtum. Do you know what it has in common with the other two?
Nope. Mm-hmm. I've heard the name Carol Bryce, but I didn't know that track.
Oh, Carol Blades, Candy Store Lullaby? Yeah. And, of course,
and the other one sounded like Major Lance.
Yes, it was, Lullaby, of course. It was Major Lance, yes. So, but what do they all have in common?
That one I haven't picked up on.
Well, that's all right. Hang on. We'll confirm that address because you knew it was Linda Clifford, and that's good enough. Don't go away. All right. So Tommy knows his Linda Clifford. And like I was saying here, that is, I think that's the best thing she ever did. All right. So let's get Tommy on hold and not hang up on him. I know. You'd think I could figure this out by now, but no. And we have eight more to play for you before I'll reveal the theme. We're going to have lyrics with Fran and Austin. I can't wait for that. 1960s TV with John and Covington. All right. John and Waukegan's got some guesses. All right. This I want to hear. All right, John, what do you think? John. Oh, maybe John had guesses for the last question. I don't know. You know, we have a new question. Maybe we should review again, shall we? Yes. Let me find it here. That's right. Oh, yeah. I thought this was just a wonderful question because it's so absolutely out there. We previously established that 1,440 Americans, on average, seek hospital treatment every year for ping pong injuries. Now, by comparison, there are only four known injuries requiring hospital treatment for this physical pastime, three of them for being hit in the head and one of them for a splinter in the buttocks. What's the pastime? Yeah, that's what I want to know. What's the pastime? 888-876-5593. All right, I think Sam and Gurney was guessing on our last question, too, but let's see if he's still there. Sam, are you still there? No, I think we probably should have had John clear the lines when we got a winner on the last one, which was, of course, Marbles, a toy. That's all you would have needed to do. So we'll talk to Fran in Austin because we got lyrics. How's it going, Fran?
Hey, Raleigh. I was laughing because my phone, I think my phone is haunted. The last time I called you was Thursday night, and I called right at the beginning of the show, and I waited until almost the end.
I'm so sorry.
And just about 2 minutes before you got to me, my phone died.
I'm so sorry.
And so then tonight, I went, and I'm going to play trivia, and I called John, and I said, yeah, I want to do 65 lyrics, and I'm sitting here. I hadn't been waiting that long, and I hear the beep, beep, beep. I'm like, Gary!
I wonder what it is.
And so I told John, I said, I think my phones are haunted.
Wow. Well, well, maybe.
Either that or I need a new battery, but it's more interesting to think my phones are haunted.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And, you know, now that we don't pay for long distance, it's okay, because there'd be nothing worse than the ghost, you know, racking up charges. That would not be okay.
Oh, that I would have been, you wouldn't have been able to put what I said on the radio.
Exactly, right. But now we know that's not a problem, so a ghost would be just fine.
Right.
You know, unless, of course, it's calling everybody in our phone book and saying God knows what.
Oh, my God, no, not... Not
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah. As I say that, I had a friend years ago. This is going back to, about 40 years ago, because I remember cell phones were fairly new, and I had one, and I was in a shopping center in, of all places, Dallas, and he called me, and he said to me, he says, I think I want to apologize, and I'm already laughing, because what had happened was I got this flaming phone message from someone I'd never heard of, some woman just ranting and raving, okay? And she was saying, you're a homewrecker. And she said, you were the reason for my husband's first divorce. I'm thinking, who the hell is this? You know what I mean? You know? And she goes on and on and on. So he calls and he said, did you get a call from an irate woman? I said, yes. What is that? He said, well, I'm sorry to say that was my wife. I said, what? And he said, yeah, she got hold of my phone book and called every woman in it. And he was a guy, you know, he was a guy I worked with in radio, not somebody who, like, I had a relationship.
Right. Yeah.
And so I said, you had a lot of friends too, didn't you? And he said, yeah, I'm making a lot of calls. So
I guess.
But but when I heard that message, I mean, I was tickled pink because I thought, oh, I'm a scarlet woman, but I wonder who this is. You know?
Right.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, we have lyrics for you, ghost or not.
Okay.
All right. So, so here we are. All right. Let's see. My jealous eyes have learned to take a look or two.
Take me back.
Yes, absolutely right. You're 100% right. They were too blind to see that I was losing you. Take me back. Yes, absolutely right. I'm begging, please. Take me back.
I'm on my knees.
Yes. You know, I just realized I blew the news again. I hope Adam went to a break. If not, hang on a minute, and I'll say this is WGN Radio.
Your friends, all of your friends, all of your friends, you know when you get on your feet again. Everyone will want to be your friend when you get on your feet again. Everyone will want to be your friend. Everyone will want to shake your hand. Everyone will want to see you again. And they'll all pat you on your back. They'll all try to tell you that they're glad you're back when you get on your feet again. Everyone will want to be your friend. Your friends, all of your friends, all of your friends, all of your friends. But when you're down and out, there's not a friend in this world to help you out. But when you get on your feet again, everyone will want to be your friend. There wasn't one of your friends to be found. And when
your ship comes in, surprise all of your so-called friends.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So, that's easy. You should know exactly who this is. But what's he have in common with everybody else we've played tonight? 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So, in the first hour, you heard Carol Blades and Major Lance and Lynn Clifford. Yeah. So, what do the songs they sung have in common with the one we're playing now and everything else we're going to play tonight? All right, so 888-876-5593. We've previously established that 1,440 Americans on average seek hospital treatment for ping pong injuries every year. Now, by comparison, there are only 4 known injuries requiring hospitalization for this physical pastime, 3 of them for being hit in the head and 1 of them for splinter in the buttocks. What pastime? All right. So that's my question, and I kind of liked it, but we'll see. So far, nobody's biting here. If you don't like my question and you don't know my bumpers, you can have your own category, and we prove that every night, every Monday night. Oh, yes, I should again say that if it's Friday night, hi, hello, how are you? Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. It's a replay. But if it is Monday night, in this case, Monday night, July 10th, call 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Alrighty, so if you don't like my bumpers, you don't know my bumpers, you don't like my question, you don't know the answer, have your own category. It can be absolutely anything. John from Covington, Kentucky is going to prove it. He wants 60s TV trivia. How's it going, John?
Hey, Raleigh, good evening.
Alright, here we go. This 60s television show was the first animated series to have a prime time slot. What was it?
The Flintstones.
Absolutely right. A modern Stone Age family. Yes, you're 100%.
I'm sorry. We were talking about Bea Benaderet.
Yes.
She was Betty Rubble.
Well, there you are. So,
yeah, how about that?
Yes. Oh, yes. Some some world-class players in the animation world. Well, hang on. You are a winner. It was the Flintstones.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, good deal. So that's it. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we will put John on hold and try not to lose him. Yeah, which is note to self, right? And, see, Johnny D probably thinks I forgot. Well, let me get it here. I not only didn't forget, I printed it out. We got his Cro-Magnon question. All right, so... Johnny D, I'm ready for you. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. Hello.
All right.
John tells me you got a question all ready to go.
I do. And it's actually, it's open-ended, but it should be very easy for you.
All right. Well, I'll listen closely. Go ahead.
What does the name Cro-Magnon come from?
What does the name Cro-Magnon come from? Well, I believe that there's a rock shelter in France, if I'm not mistaken, where there were 5 skeletons found in like end of 1860s or 50s. And the cave was called Cro-Magnon.
Good enough. Yes, it is.
I mean, good enough. That's it.
Yeah. Louis Lartet in 1868 at the Cro-Magnon Rock Shelter came up with these 5 skeletons. Les Isis d'Orgone, France, was the location, wherever that is.
Well, I pretty much said everything you just said.
There you go. And now... Why was the cave discovered? It was an accident.
Why was this cave discovered? It was an accident.
And this is just for extra credit. You already won.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think. That's something. An accident?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Well, wait a minute. Give me a second here to think about it. I don't know that.
Well, the land was being cleared. Do you know what it was being cleared for?
A railroad or something?
Yes, absolutely, a railway station. That's right. They were building a railway station. They said, you want to stop here? We got some skeletons. That's exactly right.
Okay, well, see, I knew there was something to do with a railroad or something.
Yeah, you're 100% right. As usual, right. You ace them. All right, hang on, Johnny
D. Wait a minute. I got a question, an answer for your accident question.
Oh, yeah? What do you think?
Well, somebody got hit in the head, and then they got a splinter in their buttocks.
Three people were hit in the head, went to the hospital. Then one person went to the hospital with a splinter in his buttocks. That guy had to be embarrassed.
Well, I'm guessing, I was trying to think, you said a physical activity.
Yeah, it is.
I'm thinking volleyball. You know, somebody fell on the court and got a splinter in their buttock.
Interesting, but not right.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. You know your Cro-Magnons. Don't go away. All right.
Thank you.
Johnny D., star of the Cro-Magnons. All right. So we put him on hold, confirm that address. I'm sure Johnny knows. I'm sure that John knows it by heart, but we'll see. Now, Mark in Aurora. How's it going, Mark?
Hello.
Yes, you want July 10th, 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Lean on Me.
Bill Withers.
Number two, Too Late to Turn Back Now. I believe I'm falling in love.
Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Number three, Out of Space.
Billy Preston.
Number four, Song Sung Blue.
Neil Diamond.
Number four. Oh, that was number four. I'm sorry. Number five, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Looking Glass.
Much to Elliot Lurie's disgust. All right. Number six, Rocket Man.
Elton John.
Yes. Number seven, Daddy, Don't You Walk So Fast.
Wayne Newton, right after his voice changed.
Number eight, Alone Again, Naturally.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Number nine, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right. If being right means being
Luther,
without you...
Luther Ingram.
Yes,
Luther
absolutely.
Ingram?
Yes. And number 10, Where Is the Love?
Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway.
Absolutely right. You aced them all. We'll see how far you go. You ready?
Okay.
Number 11, How Do You Do?
Mouth and McNeil.
Number 12, School's Out.
Alice Cooper.
Number 13.
Otherwise known as Vince Fournier.
Yeah, right. Number 13, Too Young.
Too Young.
They try to tell us we're too young.
They're old. Yeah. Okay.
Number 14, Take It Easy.
Eagles.
Yeah. Number 15, Layla.
Derek and the Dominoes.
Number 16, I Want to Be Where You Are. I'm looking at this saying I never even heard of this
record.
I have never heard of this record.
That either.
And it was Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get it, obviously.
Well, I didn't either. I'm like, I've never heard this record, I don't think. It's probably on this computer because I think I have everything that ever charted on it. But I have no idea what that would sound like. Wait a minute. I want to know. I want to be where you are. All right. Maybe blissfully I
so
don't.
So we're going to hear a snippet of it?
Yeah, we are because I can't imagine what this is.
Because now all we right. got you curious.
Well, I am curious, yeah. I mean, yeah. And it's Michael Jackson, not the Jackson 5. I want to be where you are.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, harpsichord and everything.
I'm sure.
Oh! Can't be, I stayed away too long.
No, I've never heard this before.
You know, I have heard it, but I think number 16 was as high as it got on the pop charts, and that was high enough.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
And that's a shame, because you know number 17, Candyman.
Oh, Sammy Davis Jr.
And I know you know number 18, Troglodyte.
the Jimmy Kester Butts.
Yes, her name was Bertha. Bertha Butt. She was
Bertha
one of the
Butt. One
she
of
was
the Butt,
Butt Sisters. Exactly right. Yeah. All right. Well, very, very good. You did very well, and we both would have failed on I Want to Be Where You Are. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hang on. Don't go away. All right, so we'll put Mark on hold to confirm his address. There we go. And if I in any event disconnect, you call right back. But I Mark, I successfully put on hold, and we're about to meet Dr. Steve. He's a first-time caller. He wants 1940s or 50s TV trivia. Don't go away, Dr. Steve. I'll have a question for you coming right up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and Bumper Stumpers, yes, it's Monday Night Trivia, so if it's Friday night, please don't call, it's a replay, but if it's Monday night, July the 10th in specific, call us, 888-876-5593, tell us who this is, and what they have in common with every other song we played tonight. Came out in 1954, it was on the X label, which is a very interesting little label. X was owned by RCA, and it was actually, even though it was an RCA label, it wasn't distributed by RCA, it was independently distributed, and they put Joe Carlton in charge of it, and later, of course, he had the Carlton label, which had some wonderful stuff and as far as that goes. But the interesting part about X wasn't even that. It was that the name of it, X, was taken from Project Madam X, which was the code name for RCA developing the 45 RPM. Yeah, that's right, because that was, the big fight, Columbia coming up with the 33 and a third, and RCA coming up with the 45. So now we told you all about the label, and even about Joe Carlton, but who were they, and what do they have in common with everything else we played, particularly what do they have in common with that first thing we played by Carol Blades? All right, so 888-876-5593. That would be 8888-RALEIGH. So we're about to meet Dr. Steve. All right, a first-time caller from Kinley Park. How's it going, doctor?
Very good. How you doing, Raleigh?
All right. I'm delighted that you called. You should know all when it comes to this stuff. I can tell already.
So. I want trivia questions for you.
Oh,
can I do that?
No, I'll get them all wrong, unless they're obscure R&B oldies. I know nothing about television. You know, I never even owned one until I married John.
Can I just give you the? How about giving you the answers as I give the questions?
Maybe. Now you do understand I've seen 5 movies in my life.
Okay.
All right.
So you've probably seen more TV.
Well, I've only seen it if it's a rerun, because, like I say, I didn't have one. But now that John has one, occasionally I'll see things, but not too often.
Right.
Usually I'll just say, could you just turn that off?
Who invented electronic television?
Oh, who the hell knows?
Philo T. Farnsworth.
Okay, all right. I should have been able to say that, yes, all right.
What was the first electronic TV transmission that was successful?
Oh, I have no idea.
It was a white line on a black screen.
Oh.
And everybody went crazy.
Oh, so kind of like the vertical blanking interval.
Yeah. The first woman on electronic TV was Farnsworth's wife, Pam Farnsworth.
How about that?
1927. Well. The first TV commercial.
Oh, probably Boulevard. Well, no, that was actually the first radio commercial was Boulevard. So, I don't know.
No, it was a Boulevard clock that they just showed the face and the secondhand swept around.
Right, and like I say, Bulova was the first radio commercial too. And my favorite, my favorite blooper with Bulova was the guy. I forget which network. For all I know, it was Dumont, but I'm not sure. Who actually read the instructions when he was reading the copy loud, and he said, "It's Bulova watch time on Christmas. Say Merry Christmas. On New Year's, say Happy New Year's."
Very good. Did you know that there was a station in New York that carried the audio of Pearl Harbor? They read it off a wire copy and had a map of Hawaii showing Pearl Harbor.
How about that? So kind of a recreation there.
Yes, WNBT TV.
Sure.
And the first Olympics to be televised.
Oh, I'd guess it was the 30s. I don't know.
You're right, 36, yeah. Berlin.
Yeah. Yeah, I would guess that.
Very good.
Well, I don't think I did well at all. But let's ask you questions. I'll go back to the Dumont Network, because, of course, I was a kid when Captain Video was first on. And that was the third most popular Dumont show. The second most popular was the Goldbergs. And I would have thought that was the first most popular. But, and this is, by the way, that bastion of incredibility, IMDb. But what do they claim is the most popular Dumont show of all time?
Good question. I don't know.
Something called This Is the Life.
Religious.
Yes, yes, it is. Featuring dramatizations of contemporary problems and how they were resolved using a Christian solution.
Good.
Wow.
Very good.
Sounds like Unshackled. But all right. Well, that's wonderful. So I guess I should give you a prize. You stumped me, but anybody could.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, no, absolutely. I always say the only reason I know what I'm talking about is I have the answers in front of me.
Very good. Sounds like my students.
So tell me about this. You actually teach this?
I have, yes. I got my PhD in radio, TV, film from Bowling Green in Ohio in 1977.
Okay.
And I've taught radio, TV production, TV programming, history of TV, announcing, everything.
Well, that's good.
Dealing with TV.
There aren't that many schools that spend much time on radio. So that's nice.
That's true.
SIU in Carbondale did. Ohio University in Athens did. University of Miami did. Strangely enough, USC did, but UCLA did not have one radio course.
Interesting.
Yeah, so radio usually gets real short shrift. So if you were somewhere teaching it, God love you for that.
Yeah, it was fun. I miss it terribly. I had to retire in 2009, and I don't like retirement. I like to work with students.
Oh, yeah, well, I think you'd be great at it. Why did you have to retire?
I heard a rumor that there was no money in the retirement system through the state of Illinois, and they're still arguing about that 14 years later.
Oh, man. But I would think there would be places where, even in community endeavors, where you absolutely could continue to teach. Call me again, and we will talk about this. Right now, I'm up against the news, and they actually are credible, so I have to shut up. But I'm glad you called, and hang on. We'll get your address. We'll eventually mail you something. Don't go away, doctor. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Steve, and we'll pick it up right there on trivia after we find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1957 on Checker, unreleased. And I just love this song. It's very out of character for this guy, but it is also overmodulated. Yeah, that's certain death as far as I'm concerned. It should be justifiable homicide, any recording engineer who does that. But what I don't know is whether there is a cleaner copy of it somewhere. And, yeah, it's on that infamous to-do list just to find a cleaner copy of this. But this is what you get for right now. So who is he? And what does he have in common? Or what does this record have in common with everything else we have played tonight? Very out of character for him. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and we have our question. Yeah, so out there. We previously established that 1,440 Americans on average seek hospitalization for ping pong injuries every year. By comparison, there are only 4 known injuries requiring hospitalization for this physical pastime. 3 of them were for being hit in the head and one of them for a splinter in the buttocks. What pastime. All right. And then if you don't like my trivia questions and you don't know my bumper stumpers, you can have your own category, and sky is always the limit. And let's see, we'll prove that, by the way, with John from Gilbert. We're going to do some ocean liner trivia. But right now we got some guesses. Maureen in Plainfield, what do you think?
Okay, my guess is tobogganing.
I like it. It's not right, but I like it.
Okay.
All right.
I thought I'd give it a shot. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Do it again.
You're welcome.
All right. So, yes, indeed. Because, you know, it could have been right. That was the only thing wrong with it, is it wasn't. All right. So, Leah is in Marcus Hook. What do you think, Leah?
Oh, thanks for taking my call again, Raleigh.
Always.
I have 6 guesses, and you mentioned ping pong, which is a game played with paddles. So, that's what I went with that theme.
Oh, no, it had nothing to do with it. The only reason I mentioned ping pong was I thought it was so insane that 1,400 people were going to the hospital every year because of it.
Oh, it had nothing to do with paddles?
Nothing whatsoever.
Oh, geez.
See, I know I shouldn't be even, you know, saying things, because then it sends everybody down the wrong road.
Well, I'll give you my guesses anyway.
Yes, you will.
T-ball?
No.
Croquet?
No.
Cricket?
No.
Badminton?
No.
Tennis?
No.
Pickleball?
No.
Okay, those are my guesses.
Well, and those are all fine, and none of them are right.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, after the ping pong thing, which I still say is a little out there, none of those answers would have surprised me. But this one, yeah, and, you know, splinters? All right, I guess. I don't know. So 888-876-5593. And John and Gilbert wants ocean liner trivia. How's it going, John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, doing good. How are you?
Well, I can't complain. So you'll know this. I just know you will. Yes. What was the name of the warship the Queen Mary collided with and sank during World War II?
The Curacao.
Absolutely right. And you know, they wouldn't even let her stop for survivors.
That's true. Yeah, they couldn't do it. You know, the Queen Mary had to go in a zigzag path to avoid U-boats. And,
right.
Well, you know, they zigged when they should have zagged, and it was a tragic accident.
Right, they cut the Curacao in two and sunk it, and then they just left.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Just kept on going,
Just...
At least he pulled into Boston eventually for repairs to her now.
Right. How was the trip, Margaret? Well...
Yeah.
All right, John,
so,
as usual. My
parents emigrated to America and the Queen Mary, so I know quite
really?
A bit about that.
Now, they didn't have they didn't have that kind of excitement, though, did they?
No, it was 1947, so the year was war was over.
Yeah, and relatively calm. Yeah. They didn't hit an iceberg. Yeah. Nothing happened. Did they?
No. My mother discovered the... they were living in England previously, and my mother was, they had a lot of food rationing still at that time, and she went on the Queen Mary and got the biggest box of chocolate she could find, and
good for her. Now, I got to ask, what was it that caused your parents to say, we're going to get on a ship and move to America? Why'd they come?
I think they just wanted to start life over again. It was, it's a long story. My father was a British soldier in World War II, and he was part of the army, the army unit that took over Hamburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. My mother was a war widow, and so they both ended up moving to Portsmouth, England, where my father, well, it was my father's home. And I think more than anything else, what drove my parents to America was my my English grandmother, who didn't get along real well with my mother. And you can imagine, my mother also had a daughter from her first husband who was killed in the war.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't have a real welcoming, it wasn't a real welcoming attitude, speaking German on, streetcars and stuff, and right after the war in England. And I think that was part of it. Plus, they had relatives here in America. My mother's family had, the Germans had a an establishment in America. And so they came to America, decided to start a new life.
Wow.
I came along 5 years later. So.
Wow. No, that's great. Yeah, I mean, she probably wins an award for traveling the furthest from her mother-in-law. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty much. They did not get along.
I'll go to America. The problem is I'm jealous about that, because where would we go if we wanted to escape? We've run out of places.
Well, I lived in New York most of my life, so I escaped New York and came out to Gilbert. So
well, there you are. There you are. Now,
not
what
quite as dramatic a move?
What was the deal with Gilbert? Why was Gilbert calling?
I liked Arizona, and my wife also we had visited here. We got married in Las Vegas, so we liked the desert.
Okay. Yeah,
and so we moved out to Gilbert, and you know.
Yeah.
Wonderful, exciting Gilbert.
Hey, look, it's got Gilbert Pizza. They have wonderful garlic knots.
Oh, you mean Sal's Gilbert
Yes,
Pizza?
I do. Sal's Gilbert Pizza.
Yeah,
wonderful Sal's garlic knots, yes.
Yeah, I highly recommend Sal's Pizza. Yeah,
I do too.
I do all my visiting relatives.
Yeah, love those garlic knots. All right, well, as usual, you're a winner. Hang on, John, don't go away.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right, so absolutely. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888, Raleigh. And we get to as often as we can, and I got a bunch to go once, and they said, well, how far are you from home? I said, 3 hours. Yeah, I like the garlic knots. All right, so we'll get to Maureen from Plainfield, who's got a guess on these four hospitalizations from this pastime. And you can have your own category, but coming up next is another bumper stumper that loosely falls in line with all the others. I say loosely because this is one that there's two of them where I'd say, yeah, I'm putting it all in the category, but this is almost an exception, but not. I know, that's clear as mud. Coming up on WGN Radio.
You like me too.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it's Monday Night Trivia. I'm reading my email and hi to Johnny in Austin, who fills me in on all sorts of stuff that I want to know, but he filled me in on something right now that I didn't want to know, and I surely to God didn't want to learn it while I was on the air, but I did. Friends of David Stewart, which includes John and I, he passed away July 1st, had a stroke. I'm just so sad about this. A couple years ago, I knew he had a real rough time of it with thyroid cancer, and being that I don't have a thyroid gland from childhood, we had much to discuss, and I gave him some tips on that. And then he had heart problems to the point that he needed multiple bypasses and all that. And yeah, along the way, I guess, maybe we'll never know, but I'm sure going to check. His dad died about 6 months ago, cancer, actually. And John just came in, and he's just dumbstruck, as am I.
We're not done being friends yet.
I know, we're not done being friends. We're not done being friends yet. Yeah, David's driven out here and seen the stations. And we always palled around at the NAB. And, of course, I couldn't go this year because John wasn't yet at a stage of his recovery where it would have been possible. So last time I talked to David was actually just a few weeks ago. And we were catching up, and I told him how sorry I was that, you know, that we missed the NAB. And he said, oh, you know, don't be, everybody's gone now. And I said, boy, isn't that the truth? And we went down memory lane with all the engineers that we used to pal around with at the NAB who are no longer with us. And boy, I had no idea, absolutely no idea. And I want to know more about this. He owned a little radio station, by the way, in La Mesa, Texas. In fact, I was talking about that just this past weekend with somebody, a KPET. And had that on the air and a number of other things, too. So if I sound off for the next hour and 10 minutes, I am absolutely thunderstruck by this news and not in a good way. So Johnny said he wondered if it was David on our show many months ago. Absolutely right. And yeah, over the years he was. And when I was briefly in El Paso doing Hispanic Teen Love Advice on KLTO, don't ask, one night David and Ron Haney and I and there was somebody else who recently died too, which was sad. We all decided we'd kind of go tower hopping at the FM tower sites. And some of those, oh man, there was one of them. I just looked over at the cliff and I said, I think I'll get out and walk. And they all laughed about that. But we had a great night. So yeah, rest in peace, David Stewart. That is just. Yeah, we'll have to talk more about that. But all right, so let's put our happy face back on for the rest of the show. And who was that? And like I say, in common with all the other records, although not quite as in common, but still in common. All right, yeah, I know. Clear as mud. All right, so now our injuries. And we previously established that 1,440 Americans on average sought hospital treatment annually for ping-pong injuries. I figured maybe you threw the puck, yeah, or the paddle, or whatever it is, the ball, I don't know. Well, by comparison, there are only four known injuries requiring hospitalization for this physical pastime, three of them for being hit in the head, and one of them for a splinter in the buttocks. What pastime? All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Maureen in Plainfield, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, hi. Calling back because when I called before, my partner woke up and she was wondering if anyone has answered log rolling.
No, is that a sport?
She's a farm girl, and she thought of it as an activity.
Well, it sounds good. Yeah, no, it's not log rolling, and that, I guess that would be a physical activity. You're right. Sort of like the cornhole tournaments that always sounded dirty as hell to me.
right.
Yeah.
You no. Watch these farm girls, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy yourself, Maureen. Don't want to interrupt anything. You call me again. All right,
thanks.
All right, okay, so,
bye.
Yeah. I know when we first got here and they said, you want to go to the cornhole tournament? I'm like, I don't know. All right, so let's see what Sherry in Naperville has to say for her bad self. What do you think, Sherry?
Hey, Raleigh. I wanted to guess, and I don't have the correct terminology for this sport, right, I'm sure, but I know a lot of colleges on the East Coast and over the pond do this. I want to call it
sculling, but it's like...
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I know exactly what it is because of Philadelphia, of course, it's big. No, it's not.
Okay. And then my next gut, I'm trying to think of things with wooden implements. So tennis?
No.
Okay. Badminton?
No.
Okay. Oh, holy Toledo. What else did I guess, David? Oh, billiards or pool.
Nope.
Okay, because I know sometimes you got to sit on the table to.
Oh God, that's interesting. No.
And you could get hit in the head with a pool ball if somebody tries to jump a shot. And Leia already guessed croquet, so that's not it. I'm trying to think of things with wood. Oh,
you know, I don't even understand where the wood came from in this. But of course, I don't know how this.
Oh, really?
Is. Well, see, but again, now don't take that as any hint because I don't know how this is played. I'd have to look it up.
Okay, one more.
Yes,
I just thought of bowling.
No, not bowling.
All right.
Well, call me back. You'll get six more.
I will. I want to say I don't know if you heard like 2.5 weeks ago or so. There was some news article or some newsworthy thing about a town that lost power or something to that effect. And it was because a snake had gotten in and grew large and switched off whatever switch. Something to that effect, but I'm sure all my facts are wrong.
That's all right.
Because I really didn't pay attention to it. We just all felt sorry for the workers who had to discover the big snake. Mm. And the other thing, that doctor in radio, didn't Columbia College in Chicago and also, I want to say, Michigan
well,
State?
Well, those are, I don't know about Michigan College, but Columbia was more, not the same kind of thing he was teaching. Trust me.
Okay, but I would like to hear from him again.
Me too.
And I wanted him to know that because...
You've ended the hour. I got to go like right now. Thanks. And
bye-bye.
We'll pick it up next hour here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And it is Monday Night Trivia, Tuesday morning now, July 11th. But if it is Friday, either way, or Saturday morning, it's a replay, and I hope you're enjoying the show. Don't call. But do mark your calendars for Mondays from 10 to 1 Central Time right here on WGN. Now, working on a question, we've previously established that 1,440 Americans on average seek hospital treatment for ping pong injuries every year. I don't know. They're throwing the paddles, I guess. By comparison, there are only 4 known injuries requiring hospitalization for this physical pastime anytime. 3 of them were for being hit in the head, and 1 of them was for a splinter in the buttocks. What pastime? 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. And we got our bumper. Yeah, that was our bumper stumper. I want to know, what does it have in common with every other song we played tonight? And who was that? All right, Karen in Chicago, I think, knows who it was. Who do you think it was, Karen?
No, not that one. It was one of the ones before. It was trio of females. I suspect it was the Andrews sisters.
There were no Andrews sisters.
Oh, okay. For the trivia, now, I don't know anything about these two games, but I'm going to guess them anyhow. Lacrosse?
Nope.
Croquet?
Nope.
What about canoeing? You could get hit in the head that way.
Nope. I would think you'd be more likely to drown, but, you know, but nope.
Well, that would be my luck, but no way you're going to do it.
Right. Nope.
The only other thing I can think of, and I don't know a lot about all these things, but racquetball?
Nope.
Okay, I'm wrong all the way around, but thank you for letting me try.
Well, I'm glad you did, and if you think of something else, you call me back. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right.
Your
so.
Show is great. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm having to look up this pastime because I don't know how the hell you play it. All right, but obviously you play it with head injuries, three of them, and a splinter in the butt. But unbelievable. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And Johnny D. is in Ohio. What do you think, Johnny D.?
Well, what I think is that the woman that just hung up took my guess. Because I was listening to everybody name all these different games, and then I thought lacrosse. I was going to say lacrosse because that's played with like a, you know what that's played with, like a basket, like racket type thing.
Mm, okay.
And, you know, I figure somebody swipes it down, they could get a splinter.
Mm. Yep. It's not it.
But then the ball, they whip that ball around, you know. In other words, it could hit you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I was going to say lacrosse, but, okay, I'll take Cro-Magnon.
No, you're ready, okay, you're ready right. One for that. All right, we'll talk to you later,
all
Johnny.
Right,
all right, thanks,
all right,
appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. John and Beloit, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh.
Oh, Don and Beloit. All right, I said you were John and Beloit.
It's Don.
Yes, it
yeah,
is. All
I
right.
I thought that's what you meant. Yeah.
Hey,
there's so many great... great, great Twilight Zones, but my absolute favorite, it just gets me balling every year. But that Art Carney one, the special Christmas one they did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I meant to mention, I had looked it up and found out which Hawaii Five-O episode it was. It was from the original series, and it was interesting because on it, a college girl had been found hanging. And it wasn't about that she was murdered by hanging, and she was. What upset everybody was that her boyfriend, who was at first considered to be the suspect, and it turned out later that it was some crazy neighbor, not the boyfriend, but the boyfriend was into hanging himself for autoerotica. And, you know, obviously the goal there is not to die, but to have a super good time. In any event, apparently somebody watching the show decided to try it and did die, and next thing you know, that was considered banned. But it can still be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, my brother, I got three brothers, and we all just died at some of these plots on Hawaii Five-0. We would just go howl with laughter. I'm sorry, but, you know, it was because, you know, McGarrett, he would just, Dan'll go hit the streets, try to find out who rented a car 2 months ago on a big island who had a French accent or something.
Right, yeah. Right.
Columbia's crazy.
Well, I guess they ran out of topics in early 1970 when they had this character, Don, whose name was Don Miles in this case, who was your typical hippie type, except that he was into autoerotica. Saw it having health benefits, actually, auto asphyxiation. So then his girlfriend winds up dead from hanging, and he's suspected, and it turns out it's not him. But so it wasn't the murder. You know, they murder all the time on Wi-Fi, as you know. It was the form of yoga with a noose, shall we say, that apparently others decided they'd try it. Now, see, I can't, granted, I'm not a television watcher, but I can't imagine watching something like that and thinking, oh, I think I'll try that. You know, it's like, what, are you out of your mind? So I guess that's where the phrase, don't try this at home, comes from.
Well, you got the Ford Motor Company cars, and McGarrett would always get the girl, you know?
Yeah, I guess. And then they reinvigorated that, I guess, with a recent one, too. I don't know if it's still on, They brought it back.
Well, what do you think of shuffleboard?
I think that you're a winner.
Oh, my God. That was just a guess, because a lot of people, you know, a few, but not... Okay.
Wow. So here's what... Wow. So, good. I was trying to look this up. Now, I thought the thing that was the puck or whatever, I didn't think that was made of wood. I thought that was, like, metal. So where's the splinter come from? Is it the things you're pushing the puck around with? I mean, I can see someone get mad and use one of them in the wrong way, but I don't really get it.
I think it's the retirement facility in Florida. They popped each other over the head with it.
Right. But I mean, are the sticks made of wood? Is that it? Would it be a stick injury?
Yeah,
okay. All right.
It's just like a disc. You just have a disc. It could be by a poolside, or it could be anywhere. The shuffleboard's going anywhere. Or you just sort of shove this thing. It's sort of a half disc.
Right. I've seen the thing, but I thought the thing was always metal. So what I'm thinking is it must be the sticks that are wood.
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure those things were metal. Because when we lived at the Americana above the cabanas, they had a shuffleboard court. And I remember, you're right, it was mostly old people playing this. And it had absolutely no interest to me. But I was pretty sure those things that they were shoving were metal. But maybe the shovers themselves, the sticks, were wood. I don't know.
The first of my six, I had a whole bunch of other ones, but
no, you won it. Shuffleboard.
She had the same exact ones I had. So I had to come think up some other ones.
Well, you got it. Shuffleboard. Hang on, you're a winner.
Well, you got? Can you give me the good stuff? Can you give me a World War II?
I don't have to. You won.
Oh, okay. All right.
Call next week for that. Hang on.
We'll
don't go away.
Thank you so
All right.
much.
So yeah, I mean, he won. Winning is winning. All right. The prizes aren't worth it. Trust me. You're doing this for the fun of it more than anything else, and I appreciate that. We need a new question. Okay, here we go. We consider this a happy thing, but 4 million residents of Japan carry insurance against this happening to them. What happening? We consider this a happy thing, but in America. But 4 million residents of Japan carry insurance against this happening to them. Happening, what happening to them? 888-876-5593. We'll come back with Brian and Joliet. We're going to do charts, July 1964, and more. And another bumper stumper. And nobody's coming up with a theme? Oh, yeah. It's a fine one coming up. An artist you know. No more clues, because I'm sure I'll send you down the road to ruin on that. So we'll pick it up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Yes, I'll be true.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so who's that? There's a familiar voice, but that's, and if you know, you win for that, but that's not why I played it. It has something in common with everything else we played. What might that be? All righty then. So we're going to do charts with Brian and Joliet and charts with Jerry in Shelby, Montana. All right. But James on the south side has half a dozen guesses on our trivia question. So let's go there. All right. James, all right. Half a dozen. Guess one.
Okay. Burst.
Next.
Weddings.
Next.
Okay, visits from relatives.
Next. Yeah, we need insurance against that.
Okay, I'm going to say buying a new house.
Next.
Going to college.
Next. Here's your final big one, big finish.
Okay. Getting a new job, getting a job promotion.
Call me back with another six. Talk to you later. All right, so there it is. And that's the deal. We consider it to be a happy thing, but 4 million residents of Japan carry insurance against this happening to them. Insurance against what happening to them? 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so... So, Jerry and Shelby, it's been a while, so Shelby, Montana checks in. Hey, Jerry, how are you doing?
Yeah, how are you doing? So we're doing charts now. What about did you just ask about the Japan thing?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, do you have an answer?
Okay. I'd say probably buying insurance against Godzilla.
It's not Godzilla or anybody else running for office for that matter. All right.
Well, let's forget that and do charts.
Okay. June of 1964. Number one, Chapel of Love.
Dixie Cups.
Number two, A World Without Love.
Peter and Gordon.
Number three, Love Me With All Your Heart.
Ray Charles Singers.
Yes, number four, Love Me Do.
Beatles.
Number five, My Guy.
Mary Wells.
Number six, Walk On By.
Dion Warwick.
Number seven, Little Children.
Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. What a great group, you know.
Yes, yes. Number eight, Hello, Dolly.
Louis Armstrong.
Number nine, People.
People.
Yes. Who need people? Are the luckiest people in the world?
Oh, Barbara Streisand. Yeah.
Number ten, I Get Around.
Beach Boys.
That's 100%. Let's see how far you get. Number 11, Diane.
Just plain Diane?
Yeah.
I was thinking of Paul Anka, Diane, and that wouldn't be a Diane. No,
that's all right.
That draws a blank with me.
That was The Bachelors on London. It was a horrible song.
Yeah.
But you got 100% on that, on the top 10, so you are a winner. Jerry, hang on. Don't go away, and don't sit by the mailbox. All right, so eventually we'll send something.
Okay.
All right, so good deal, Jerry.
Sounds good.
Absolutely right. So now, this is somewhat of a slight conundrum, putting him on hold to get that address, because Brian wants July of 1964, and the problem is they're mostly going to be the same record. So what are we going to do, Brian?
How about July 11th, 1965, then?
Yeah, it sounds good. I like that. I'd like 1963 better, but 1965 it is. We can do that. All right, so...
Okay. Let's... And I have requests, if I may.
Oh, yeah? What do you want to request?
The original version of If You Got to Make a Fool of Somebody.
James Ray?
I don't know the artist.
Yeah, it's James Ray.
Well... If you can play that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, it'll be tomorrow night. But sure, I like that song.
Me too.
All right, I do like it a lot, actually. All right, so we're going to do July 11th, 1965. Number one, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Rolling Stones.
Number two, I Can't Help Myself.
Four Tops.
Yes. Number three, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Birds.
Number four, Wonderful World. Obviously, it's a remake.
Oh.
Because it's 1965.
Herman's Hermits?
Yes, absolutely right. Number five, Woolly Bully.
Sam, the Sham, and the Pharaohs.
Yes. Number six, Yes, I'm Ready. On Arctic. I don't even know how.
Let me think a second.
But I'm ready to learn. Yes, I'm ready to learn. To fall in love with you.
Yeah, I know the song. I know the lyric. I know the song lyrics. Let's see, who would that be? Pass. I don't remember.
Barbara Mason.
Barbara Mason.
Yeah. Number seven, Seventh Son.
Johnny Rivers.
Number eight, Cara Mia.
Jay and the Americans.
Yep. Number nine, You Turn Me On.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. He hyperventilates during the song.
Yeah. It was not one of my favorites.
That was Ian Whitcomb.
Okay.
And number 10, What the World Needs Now is Love.
Oh, Jackie DeShannon.
All right, 80%, you're a winner. Hang on, don't go away.
Okay.
All
take
right.
Take care, Raleigh.
You too. So, there you go. We have another half hour of trivia coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
I know I go from rags to riches.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It is Monday Night Trivia, so if it's Friday night, sit back and enjoy the show. If it's Monday night, by all means, we've got a half hour for you to call me. Maybe we will have an answer on the current trivia question. Or, well, that's our bumper stumper. We've only got one more to go. That one was actually a big hit in Pittsburgh, of all things. And that has nothing to do with our theme. But it was 1959 on End, actually. And it has something in common with everything else we've played. And the last one will as well. And if you don't get that, I'll reveal the theme before the end of the night. But better yet, if you just tell me who that is. Now, I expected you'd have at least known the last one. Maybe not this one, unless you were a Pittsburgh listener, but the last one. All right, so our trivia question. We consider this a happy thing, but 4 million residents of Japan carry insurance against this happening to them. Against what happening to them? Karen in Madison, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Here's what I thought. I just got one thought. Would it be tsunami insurance, which we here might call surfing? You know. Big
oh no. No. Nothing oh. like that. I don't think we want a tsunami either. Even though surfers might like the start of it.
Okay, I was just hoping.
Yeah, no.
All right,
good try. Thanks, well, appreciate it, Karen.
Take care out you there too. In Arizona.
All right, thanks, bye. Appreciate it. All right, so Derek is in Des Plaines. All righty, Derek, so what do you think?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello again. By the way, I want to just mention quickly, I won one of your questions last year, and you sent me some great stuff, some tabloids, of course, and a DVD featuring a couple of old Bob Hope movies.
And a certificate, no doubt, for winning trivia.
Yes. Well, I hung the certificate on the wall.
Oh, my God.
I really did.
Oh, God. All right.
And the Bob Hope thing is just kind of funny because it's a couple of cheesy Bob Hope comedies from who knows, a long time ago,
yeah.
Obviously. But it's interesting because I used to live in an apartment building in Chicago
yeah.
for a while where supposedly Bob Hope once lived.
Wow.
So there's kind of a funny connection there.
Yeah, there is. He's back.
So I wasn't in his apartment, obviously. I think he was in a on the top floor or something. But anyway, that was great. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the question, I think I've heard this before, and I think it is another sports-related thing.
Okay.
Another sports game. I think it's winning at golf.
Good enough. Yes, it's getting a hole in one. Now, do you know why they need insurance?
I heard this somewhere because they're expected to throw a party or something if they win, or I guess it's a hole in one or whatever.
Yeah.
They're expected to throw a big party, and that can be expensive, so they buy insurance for it.
Yes, golfers in Japan are expected to buy drinks, dinner, and presents to fellow golf club members and friends, and it winds up exceeding $10,000. So they have insurance for this. Well, you're a winner.
Great.
All right. Well, hang on, Derek. And as you know from previous experience, it'll take forever to get something, but you will.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, thanks. Hang on. Yes, hole-in-one insurance. That's exactly what it is. It is hole-in-one insurance. Right. Who would have thought that? Well, it was in the Washington Post in 1999 and the London Sunday Times in 2002. So there. All right, gotta come up with something else, I guess. Auctions of things belonging to dead celebrities have always been popular. In 2004, Abe Lincoln's brought under $4,000, but Marilyn Monroe's brought over $11,000. What was auctioned? 888-876-5593. Auctions of things belonging to dead celebrities have always been popular. In 2004, Abe Lincoln's brought under $4,000, but Marilyn Monroe's brought over $11,000. What was auctioned? 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so it says Annette and Carol Stream, and it says domestic cats. Now, I'm not sure if that's a topic, if that's an answer, so what about these cats?
I'm sorry, you don't know what about
it? I say, is this an answer to the question, or is this a category you want?
A category I would like.
Okay.
I haven't heard you do questions about cats.
Oh, I can.
Cats.
Yes, I will be. Happy to do that. Well,
okay.
Obviously, you know about cats. How many bones?
I do.
How many bones do they have?
I didn't think you were going to ask that. Wow.
It's one of those. Yes, it's one of those cat facts.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I don't know. I'm going to have to take a wild guess here. I'm going to say 95.
Wow. 230 bones, which is 24 more bones than human beings.
Okay.
All right, call
That's
me again. Yeah, it is. Call me again. We'll do more cat trivia.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, 24 more bones than adult humans. How about that? 230. Well, they're agile. They're very agile as far as that goes. And although, then again, you could always argue that they had more bones to break. But yeah. No, I actually had several cat questions. Oh, I saw a very interesting cat on YouTube the other night. It was a Maine Coon, so you know it was large. But in this one deal, a woman was leaning over the kitchen counter cleaning the dishes, and the cat was next to her with front paws up on the counter. And I swear, it looked more like the size of a golden retriever. I mean, this thing was just huge and very nice, too. All right, so we will move on. As I say, we've got our auctions of things belonging to dead celebrities that have always been popular. In 2004, Abe Lincoln's brought under $4,000, but Marilyn Monroe's brought over $11,000. What was auctioned? 888-876-5593. We have the final bumper stumper for the night coming up. All right, and it'll culminate in the theme, and this one a little more tangential around the theme, but if you know what's going on in this record, then you probably can get the theme. Otherwise, you can just get the artist because it was a quasi-hit. So, enough clues because I usually, again, lead you down the road to ruin. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 888-876-5593. 8880-Raleigh. Now, yes, that's right. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. And that's the final bumper stumper, and no one's even taken a guess on what they might have in common. And it's an interesting factoid that I'll reveal here probably in the next 5-10 minutes for sure. And if you want to take a guess on that. I thought you'd know the song, actually. But we have our question, and you can have your own category. Sky is absolutely the limit on that. But yes, auctions of things belonging to dead celebrities have always been popular. In 2004, Abe Lincoln's brought under $4,000, but Marilyn Monroe's brought over $11,000. What was auctioned? So Marlene in Lombard wants to take a guess. So Marlene, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I think it might be an autograph.
Nice, but not right.
A photograph?
Nope.
A pair of shoes, I mean?
Nope.
A pair of shoes?
Nope.
A scarf?
Nope.
Hmm.
You can have two more if you want them.
A book?
Nope. Final guess.
That's it.
All right. If you think of something else, you call me back, Marlene. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Good deal. So, 888-876-5593. James in Oregon. What do you think, James?
Hey, good evening. Yeah. I got a little off-the-wall one here. I was going to say lock of hair, maybe.
All right, I'll give it to you. And I also want to give it to Ryan in Geneva. Don't go away, Ryan, because he was up next, and it says right on the board he was guessing hair. It is hair.
Oh.
You're absolutely right. So hang on, James. We'll confirm that address.
My first guess.
Well, it's all you needed. Don't go away. All right, so now let me get to know Ryan, a first-time caller, because he just won, and technically I think he called in first. So, Ryan, you are a winner.
Well, thank you very much. It was my first time calling, and I listen to the show every night, because I live in Geneva, but I used to live in Naperville.
Uh-huh.
So all of my friends and the people I see are out there. So by the time I'm driving back, it's your show that's on.
Ah, Well, good.
I'm listening every night, and I always wanted to call, and I finally did. So I guess it was worth it.
Yes, it was. Now, be patient, because it usually takes us a better part of a year to mail anything. It's not worth it, but you get a certificate and something else, like a tabloid or a DVD or a CD or something like that. So,
well, I'd say that's pretty worth it.
Yeah, well, no, I always say it's not worth the postage it takes to get it to you. But hang on, and maybe before we mail it, you'll have one many other times as well. So I hope to hear from you again soon. Don't go away. All right, so we will get Ryan's address, a first-time caller and a first-time winner. All right, Ryan, excellent. So, 888-876-5593. Now, Bill in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio, Bill.
Yeah, Raul, you guys were talking about television shows earlier, and I dozed off and had to wake up again, and it's still on. You'll never guess when I first saw my first television set.
Okay, tell me about it.
I was born and raised on a farm in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
My parents didn't believe in television or the old radio shows because of religious reasons.
Oh.
We didn't, and the antennas on the TV were big.
Oh.
The devil's horns.
Oh.
But anyways, we couldn't have got television there anyway because where I lived, the nearest TV set was in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The signal didn't go that far. I was up near Fort Wayne. Well, anyways, in 1951, I had had a vision problem of life. I had to attend school. I went to the Indiana School for the Blind in 1951,
mm-hmm.
and lo and behold, in their dormitory, in their big living room, we had a 17-inch teletone round TV, the round screen, black and white, and the first show I saw was Seal Test Big Top.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
And it was a circus show. It was the first TV set I ever saw. And most people don't realize TV would have been out like in 1930 because it was on display in 1939
right.
at the World's Fair, but World War II broke out.
Right.
And they took all that technology for radar and stuff for World War II.
Mm-hmm.
That's why TV really didn't come out until really 1945 when it hit big.
Well, Big Top was interesting because that was a Philadelphia show, 32nd and Lancaster at the Philadelphia Armory. And but it's funny you mentioned that. I got to look this up now because just the other day in the grocery store, John was asking, what happened to Seal Test ice cream? And I said, I don't know.
I don't think they quit making that stuff years
right,
ago.
They had a big building in Cleveland and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But what happened to them?
Yeah, but I don't know. It just went out of business. But the Seal Test Big Top, it was interesting because they had the big weightlifter. Those were styrofoam dumbbells.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's entertainment. Yes. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It was all entertainment. Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
I can remember that. Yeah, because it was in any of shows like Wild Bill Hickok and the Lone Ranger and Annie Oakley and
sure.
Oh, I mean, you know, it should be on. Saturday was the big TV day.
Well, and the whole Dumont Network, so, you know.
Right. You were talking about television. I said, well, she'll never guess where I saw my first television set.
Oh, that's great. That's great, yeah. Yeah, the Big Top. I do remember that. Ed McMahon was involved with that.
I don't remember who was involved in it.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who the ringmaster was, and I just remember the show.
Yeah, Jack Sterling. Yeah.
Right, and then there was, what was the woman's name? Something, Mary somebody was the, she was some, I forget what she did on there.
Yeah.
Like it was Mary something, I forgot her name now, right?
Right. I know. Dan Lurie was the muscle man, I remember that.
Oh, that's who he was,
and,
right, yeah.
Ed McMahon was
the name.
Ed McMahon was the clown.
Okay.
But who was the woman? I don't remember. I know who you mean. I can see her.
Yeah, I know her.
I can absolutely see her. Yeah.
Right. I can too, but I can't remember her name. Yeah.
Right. Right. What was her name?
Uh-huh.
And Ed McMahon was working at WCAU TV at the time, but yeah. Yeah.
He was a clown. Then he wound up like kind of like Johnny Carson's psychic.
Well, sure, yeah, and he was doing other things. He was a pitchman in Atlantic City.
Oh,
and all
I know.
Those
he
things,
did all
yeah.
kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
right,
he really did.
With Johnny Carson for a long time, right?
Yeah, later. That was like, you know, his culmination, uh-huh. actually.
Right, right.
But who was the woman? Yeah.
I don't know if you can find out. I'm not where I'm at a computer right now. I might really be on there or not. I don't know. you know.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. I could probably look it up, but I'm just trying to.
Yeah.
I mean, I can literally see her in my mind, and I cannot think of what her name was. So, but now I'm also taken away. I definitely want to find out, because I think Seal Test. I think it was Unilever, but it has something to do with Breyers, I think. But now I want to know. So I'm going to look up.
I don't know either. I remember Seal Test ice cream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They even had Seal Test milk.
Yes, yes.
They even delivered Seal Test milk.
Yes, absolutely,
right.
Through the Midwest and the Northeast. You betcha.
Right.
All right,
right,
we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. All right, so now, with that in mind, it's almost a wrap. So I got to tell you, I don't know if it is or not. I think I take it up to top of the hour this hour. But here's the deal. As far as all of our bumpers, were backed by well-known groups. Carol Blades was backed by the Harp Tones. Major Lance was backed by the Opals. Linda Clifford by the Jones Girls. Dee Clark by the Dells. Bo Diddley by the Flamingos. Big D. Irwin by the Cookies. Johnny Maestro, the Times. Jimmy Pemberton, the Chantels. I said that two were a little weird. One is the Dee Clark, Your Friends. Not that one. I'm sorry. That is not the one. The one that I thought was weird was Carmen Taylor and the Boleros. The Boleros were actually the Q's. The Q's backed so many people, though, that I didn't know if we should consider them a group in their own right. So that was an exception. And the Players, he'll be back. They weren't backed by the Dells. They were the Dells. Calvin Carter didn't like the Real Players the way they sounded, so the lead singer Herbert Butler was backed up by the Dells, who were actually the Players for that cut. All right, so that pretty much is a wrap. The Woodside Sisters, so soon. That was the Harp Tones, by the way. All right, so I think that's all of them, and they'll all be up on Rolly.net, Rolly.net. And that will conclude Monday Night Trivia, the July 10th version. And tomorrow through Thursday, we have full shows, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central, and your calls will be beyond appreciated. But I'll just prattle on here. John's coming to me. I don't know if I have a final break or not, so I'm just taking it to the top of the hour.
Take it to the top.
And, Adam just said take it to the top. So,
Mary Hartman.
Mary Hartman? No. Really? Was she? Mary
Hartman.
Caller said Mary Hartman. I wonder if that's where they got Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman from. Okay, Mary Hartman on the big top. I'll look at that. Let's see. Might be. I don't know. I'm just blanking on that entirely. But, of course, you know, I remember Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. But I don't know. Hell, I don't know about Seal Test. We'll find out about that, too. See, we got plenty of things to talk about tomorrow. The girl on the big top who might be or might not be Mary Hartman. We'll find out. And Seal Test... ice cream, and I think there's a Breyers connection. I know there's a Unilever, but why did they stop making it? It was in all the stores. All right, so and yes, they delivered milk as well. So I don't know. I'm sure there's a history. So what good is the internet if you don't have a history of ice cream, really? So on that note, let's see if there's anything else I need to tell you. Oh, it was on this date, July 10th, 1962, that Telstar was launched. And that, by the way, caused Joe Meek to compose Telstar. You know, we have nothing on the UK. I mean, we have Phil Spector, and he's weird enough. I know, no longer. They have Joe Meek. I'll have to tell you about Joe Meek tomorrow night. Yeah, because, man, oh, he's no longer with them either, and it's all just as well. So, yes, there will be Joe Meek stories tomorrow night, I promise, and whatever else is on your mind. And until then, we'll say that's a wrap. We'll thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I will thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. I'm Rolly James. It's WGN Radio.